The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, Finance Minister Jack Chambers will deliver his first budget and the last for the government this afternoon. But as is usual in recent years, we already know almost everything we can expect to hear in this bumper giveaway. Parents, pensioners and students all set to do well. I'm joined in studio by Sean Defoe, News Talk's political correspondent. Sean, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
But as Charlie Weston, personal finance editor with the Irish Independent, writes today, there are some dents in your pocket too. Charlie, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So you've been writing about the dents. What are your five dents?
Yeah, this will be a multi-billion euro giveaway. There's no doubt about that. But there's still a number of increases that are kicking in from today. Ironically, the same day that the Minister for Finance gets up to announce his giveaway budget. Health insurance. There is a raft of increases going through here. Some of these are third increases this year. Most are second increase. For example, VHI, 44 plans go up today. Leia have 98 plans going up. Irish Life Health, they had a recent increase in July and one in January. They have another 4 plans going up today. So you're talking about increases here, Pat, of anywhere between 140 to 740 euros for a family. You know, typically talking there about 2 adults, 2 children. Huge increases, plus some of the benefits are being reduced. Be very careful of that. You know, the amount you have to pay before the health insurer covers the cost.
Okay, now, Charlie, the government could do nothing about this. It's a free market in health insurance, but there are elements of cost increases that they might have some power to do something about. So let's talk about number two, petrol and diesel.
Yeah, they go up today. Now, luckily, thankfully, the barrel of oil has been, hasn't gone up much despite all the war in the Middle East. It's been quite muted because the Saudis, etc., are releasing extra barrels of oil. But there's a 2 cents will go on from midnight tonight. So go out and fill the car today if you can. 2 cents on petrol and diesel. That will make us the dearest and most taxed diesel in Europe, and also the fifth most expensive petrol in Europe. So you're talking about 101 euro and 5 cents on every litre of petrol go to the exchequer between the levies. There's about 4 or 5 different levies and taxes between excise duty, VAT, various other levies on petrol and diesel. And then about 94 cents on diesel goes to the exchequer. So that will kick in straight away. That carbon tax increase will increase from midnight. That's something we know is going to happen. We know that with absolute certainty, Pat.
Now, energy levies, people will be saying, what are they?
Yeah, we're probably going to get 2 energy credits totaling 250 euros announced today, and they probably will be paid before Christmas. But from today, 2 levies that are on your bill already go up. And that is what's called the public service obligation levy. That's to cover it's basically a subsidy for wind farms. That's about 40 euros a year. If you add in VAT, it's going to amount to about 42 euros a year, the increase there. That kicks in from today. There's another increase. It's called a network charges. That's to pay for the lines, the distribution network, just the electricity infrastructure, if you like, Pat. That goes up by 100 euros. And then on your gas bill, there's an extra 60 euros on domestic gas bills in network charges as well. So a raft of increases coming through there. They will largely wipe out the energy credit, unfortunately. Now, they're annual charges, but they do impact from today.
Now, PRSI, we know that when they introduce auto-enrollment, we don't have a definitive date for that yet, that people will be paying more they'll have to unless they opt out. Under certain circumstances, they'll have to pay more from their paycheck into a pension scheme. But we're not talking about a new auto-enrollment scheme with this particular dent to your pocket. We're talking about your regular PRSI is going up slightly.
It is, Pat, yeah. Your PRSI goes into what's called a social insurance fund, and it pays you the pension, it pays job seekers benefit, paternity leave, maternity leave, that kind of thing. Is going up a small bit from today, and it's going up every year in October for the next couple of years up to 2028. And that is so that the government can keep the pension, state pension age at 66. If you remember, they tried to raise it. There was a hell of a hubba-baloo about it in the last election. So that's staying at 66. Heather Humphreys, the Minister for Social Protection, has also introduced what's called pay-related job seekers benefit. So if you're higher paid, you get slightly more job seekers benefit for a while, as they do in other countries. So these are the two reasons why your PRSI is going to go up today. It's going to go up to 4.1 from 4%. And then by 2028, it'll go to 4.7. If you're on about €45,000 a year, Pat, that's an extra €45 a year you will be paying in PRSI. So again, that impacts from today.
Now, if you're a smoker and a vapor, or both are either trying to give up the fags and going on the vapes, what's going to happen to you today?
Yeah, another hike, another big hike probably in the cigarettes. I mean, last year it was 75 cents went on the pack of 20. There are some indications it could be as much as a euro this time. I understand a pack of 20 is about 17 euros, so it could go just to 18 euros, depending on how much he puts on cigarettes. That is a traditional one that just takes a massive hit every time, Pat. And then vapes, which are not taxed. I understand that they're bringing in a brand new tax to hit that one. You know, they are a menace. I walk my dog every morning and I'm sad enough to pick up a litter, and those things are a curse. They're everywhere.
But are they going to be outlawed completely? They're going to get rid of disposable vapes? Because, I mean, from a sustainability point of view, the lithium in those little batteries is going into landfill, causing ultimately down the road toxicity. They
should go. I mean, they really are. They're an awful development. I believe kids find it easy to buy them. They're not supposed to be able to buy them, but I believe they do. And look, they're a massive replacement for cigarettes, and they're introducing young kids to cigarettes as well. So, you know, I don't think there'll be too many complaints about a tax on that. I mean, responsible vape sellers anyway want a lot more regulation around this product. They have been calling for that.
All right, Charlie, thank you very much for taking the shine off our bliss this morning. Sean DeVoe's listening in. It's not the only thing that'll take the shine off the bliss of the Minister for Finance and his colleagues, because the CAG report yesterday, bit of a shocker.
Yeah, and it's remarkable that it has made the lead story in some of the front pages on Budget Day when you have such a big budget bonanza. I think on The Examiner, the budget is the off lead rather than the actual big lead story. And Lebanon pushing the budget off the front page and others as well. On top of the Sindo this weekend, the first time I can ever remember in the last few years anyway, it didn't have the budget as its main front page story. And the big bit out of it is this idea of the modular homes that were meant to cost €200,000 a unit and are now going to cost closer to €420,000 a unit. Again, an example of OPW overspend. They're blaming the land. They're saying that some of the sites identified were smaller than they thought and they had to do more groundworks on it. There's a certain amount of logic in that even if you're doing modular homes, you have to do groundworks, and that's what pushes up the cost in houses. But to go from 200,000 to 120%
increase in the
price.
The whole idea was they were to be cheap and pretty cheerful. In other words, they'd be sustainable, and as modular homes, they would have a reasonable lifespan.
Quick and cheap. Yeah. And they'd last 60
years.
They're
not
that
quick.
Was the plan. And not cheap.
The war in Ukraine may well be over before they're finished.
It's remarkable. This was June 2022. It was meant to come in as the solution. But we've heard this for years, that modular housing is the solution. In 2016, they were talking about modular housing as the solution to the housing crisis, and that got us absolutely nowhere. What strikes me out of it is, well, two things. One, the other part of this story was they were meant to be an A-rated BER. And they're actually a C-rated BER. How do you get that wrong?
How do you get that wrong?
Like, did you buy the wrong ones? Is it the manufacturer? How does that? And now they're going to have to be brought up to standard.
Did the OPW attempt to build these themselves, I wonder? Or do they employ a contractor? Because
I'd almost guarantee it's a contractor. I can't imagine the OPW doing it themselves. So is it the... Oh, you're saying, did they buy the materials and then put it together themselves and put it together wrong?
Yeah, they didn't. No,
I presume they got the contractor in. But then some of these had to go in storage, Pat, because they couldn't identify a site. There's a whole other side issue on this, that between the LDA saying it'll take, 5 years to identify all the different public sites in the country, and the OPW here not being able to identify proper sites for these units. Like, there's a real problem in knowing where we have public land and how we can use it.
Okay, so all this stuff about the money wasted on Metro West and all the rest of it, it strikes me that it's always people who are spending other people's money who are profligate with it. I mean, if some of these people in the OPW or in government departments were buying a secondhand Mazda on the forecourt, they'd be looking for top value, wouldn't they?
Every bit of rust would be scrutinised.
Absolutely.
And all the rest. Well, it is. You always treat your own money differently. And there's been an awful lot of focus. And I think this is the thin end of the wedge, by the way. I think you're going to see an awful lot of OPW projects over the last 10 years now examined, and everyone looking, well, was there value for money there? And actually, if the election was tomorrow, and it might only be a couple of weeks before it is called now, this would be the issue. Spending, because you've got the children's hospital, the bike shed, the shelter or the security cut at the Department of Finance, now this on top of it, and I think there is more to come. So this government is saying we are spending record billions of your money, we rebuilt the economy, trust us with it. But then you can also now point to a raft of projects where there hasn't been value for money, where it's gone way above and beyond.
Now, let's talk about what we know. And we can talk about the unknown unknowns, yeah. To borrow that phrase. But there are lots of knowns.
Lots of known knowns. So do we want to start with social welfare? So unprecedented is how it's been described in the department, a 2.7 billion euro social welfare package. There will be across the board increases. So none of this separating out job seekers in the end. 12 euro a week is where it's going to land. And then 10 different types of lump sum payments, totaling a spend of 1.5 billion euro. The biggest of those is the double social welfare bonus payment, one at Christmas and one in October. A double child benefit both in November and December. So families will be getting 280 euro a child there, 400 euro for a disability support grant, 400 euro for the carers, 300 euro on the fuel allowance, and then other payments for working family.
How quickly
and child
will they
support.
Be paid?
Most of these are going to be paid before Christmas.
Okay.
Are going to be done early. It's not going to be dragging into next year, particularly the likes of the fuel allowance, as I mentioned, the double child benefits both before Christmas and the two general double payments. So they want to get this in quick.
There are obviously ongoing increases, because if you give an across the board social welfare increase, that'll recur next year and the year after and so on. But these double payments are one-offs.
One-offs. Now, they're one-offs that have happened for a lot of budgets in a row. So yeah. At what point do you call them? But were there a sudden tank in the economy, there are ones that you could pull back and say, well, there's 1.5 billion. One of the more interesting ones, the quirk came out late last night and makes some of the papers this morning on the social welfare, is this idea of a pensioner's pass. So if you are over 70 and you have your free travel pass, you can now bring someone for free with you.
You could always bring your spouse.
You could always bring the spouse, and they were named. We got stung by this, where my mother-in-law, Sarah Doubter, on the radio this morning, thought you could bring anybody with you at one time, and I got a big nice fine getting off the dart as a result, because I wasn't her spouse. But this was going to change it, so you can bring your brother or your sister or a friend or whoever.
How did they know you weren't her toy boy?
Oh, now let's get that image into anyone's head at this hour of the morning, please.
You know what I mean? The kind of interrogation that would have to be done by an official to catch someone. Anyway, the idea being, and you can think of situations where it would be totally abused, people going off to the airport, going on a holiday, they bring one of the other party free on a bus. Yeah. But on the other hand, you've got someone coming to Dublin from Donegal for cancer treatment.
Yeah.
And they cannot really travel alone. They have to travel by public transport. That would be a good thing.
Absolutely. And they can bring people with them. And look, it is a good sort of social isolation thing. Allows you to just travel that bit easier, go on your day outing. Or if you are visiting an elderly relative or someone who maybe doesn't get out a huge amount or doesn't see a huge amount of people, you can now travel with them that bit easier. So I think it's a net positive.
Now, there's all sorts of things in the cost of living package that are very attractive.
There are, yeah. And the cost of living package, ranges widely. So you've got the electricity credits that Charlie mentioned. They're going to be paid in two goes of 125 in November and December. So that's when you'll get them onto your bill. There's the payments across the social welfare that I mentioned as well. One of the big ones that's sort of a cost of living measure but is going to recur is this idea of the baby bonus that the Green Party put in there. They wanted 560, they got 420. So in the first month of a child's life, the parents will be paid a lump sum on top of the child benefit to 420 euro.
Which is very, very useful at a very expensive time.
Absolutely, yeah. There's lots of expenses at that time, lots of stress at that time as well, and adjusting to a new period in your life. So that's very welcome. And it will be accompanied by a 15 euro increase in maternity and paternity benefit rates as well.
Taxation,
you're looking at income tax, where the point at which you pay your higher rate of tax is going to go up 2 grand, and the USC rates on amounts between 25,000 and 70,000, that's being cut by a percentage point, so from 3% to 2%. So that's going to be hundreds of euro back for an awful lot of workers. You've got the inheritance tax changes as well. The bans have gone up. Haven't got the final figure there, but I think it is going to be the 400,000 that was suggested if you were inheriting from a parent, taking account of the way that house prices have increased over the last number of years.
The situation is such, certainly in the Dublin area, that people leaving a house to a child, the child would have to sell the house in order to pay the tax.
To pay the tax bill, absolutely, yeah. Which is a mad situation to be in. You would think you could come up with exemptions for that. So that's going to rise, and you guarantee it'll be in the manifestos to rise again.
Now, anything on housing? Anything more?
Anything more on housing? So we know there's a few bits out there. There's obviously going to be the renter's tax credit that's increasing to €1,000 per year, and you will be able to claim for last year, as I understand, or for this year under that. So you will get your 1,000 for 2024 and 1,000 2025 if you're claiming it. And a lot of people still aren't claiming it, but that's a whole other issue. The Help to Buy is being extended to 2029, which is an interesting one, given how controversial that has been.
Yeah.
There is an argument, certainly in government, that it has helped people get on the line and given security to developers. Sinn Féin obviously want to pull it entirely and phase it out. That is being extended out to the end of the decade, and there's also going to be more capital spending and allotment for the Department of Housing. A big one to watch on that front would be something we haven't really talked about at all yet, is the Apple tax.
Yeah.
So today there's going to be two big funds that we're going to learn about. One is what they're going to do with the AIB money of $3 billion, which is there's going to be a very clear plan for that, I'm told. And there's going to be a more broad strokes plan for the $14 billion in the Apple tax money. Well, aspirational, but also just what sectors it's going to go into. So they have to try and keep it off balance sheet. What they're going to try and do is put it into the semi-states. So you're going to see the Land Development Agency, Air Grid, Irish Water, getting chunks of that money. What they actually do with it, we're not going to learn today. But it's sort of interesting, because if you were to take, there's lots of things to praise in this budget. There's lots of money being slapped around. But if you were to look at it and say, is there any big transformational project we can do with this once potentially in a lifetime money that we're getting in? It's not there. Maybe it's the right thing to do. Put it into the creaking infrastructure that we have that could be a barrier to investment in the future and is sort of pulling back companies from investing here. Put it into housing, into the water infrastructure, do Shannon to Dublin or whatever it is. But it's also, in political terms, a small bit boring. It's the stuff that will pay off in 5 or 10 years, but, you know, doesn't get your votes.
Getting offshore wind up and running quickly helps everybody, but, you know, we don't have an offshore wind state company.
No.
And would we trust them?
Well, that's another question. I have often thought the state should be more involved in state wind, because I do just think it's kind of utterly bizarre. We're leaving it all to the private sector, and once it's all built, they're going to be the ones in charge of it, and they're going to set the price and set the money for what is a natural resource that we all have. But then that's the other thing. How many billions would it take to get a state company involved, to get all the expertise into it? So there will be investment in the overall electricity system, probably through Air Grid, but they're leaving it to the private companies.
Okay, students are going to get an increase in the SUSE grant, and there may be a drop in university registration fees.
That's likely.
And school books for Leaving Cert.
This is, I suppose I've just been critical saying there's no legacy project. This is absolutely a legacy project for Norma Foley. She has in the last couple of years gone from everyone paying for their school books as we always did to now free from all the way through primary school and secondary school from September of next year, from the new term. There's also an interesting one in the education budget, Pat, aside from a big investment in SNAs, it's going to be 1,500 SNAs, but about de-iPhoning secondary schools. And there will be money given to secondary schools to figure out how to do that, to employ these pouches. Have you heard of these pouches that they use?
Yeah, they use put them for concerts. In.
Yeah. Well, you put them in at the start of the day and you can't unlock them until the end of the day. So money for schools to invest in that.
Okay, hospitality industry is going to be disappointed. So it's flagged at the moment. They won't get a drop back to 9.
No, probably the big loser of this would be Peter Burke, who did advocate quite strongly and publicly for the 9% VAT rate to be restored, at least for bars and restaurants and hairdressers. That hasn't made it through. It was always unlikely. And potentially a lesson, I suppose, for a first-time minister. Don't stick your neck out on something you're not going to win.
Yeah, I would just wonder how many places have to close before they change their minds on
this. This is the interesting thing, isn't it? Because it just feels constant, even on social media, when you're looking at the places you follow are closing every single week. I think the complications of the hotel gouging is what have put ministers off and what has put ministers away from actually doing it.
EVs and solar, anything on that? Because I haven't heard anything at all flagged about this.
I was just going to say, one department I've heard very, very little about is the Department of Climate and Enterprise. I know they have an increase in their budget, and there's going to be an increase to the retrofitting grants, as in the amount of them that can be provided, not necessarily the rates of itself, but not a huge amount on the climate this time, which is interesting given, I suppose, the position of the Green Party heading into this budget. They've actually put an awful lot of their focus into other things, into the baby bonus, into childcare, where there is going to be extra money for childcare, but it's not going to reduce your monthly bill. It is instead going to be put directly into the services. So they're saying that the last two budgets, we made it cheaper. This budget, we're going to try and increase capacity so you can actually get a place in the first place.
Okay, now this is like a complicated sum, and at the end of the day we get an answer or a conclusion. So what I want from you is the election date.
Yeah, we put it all in and find some day in November. So the election date, Harris is going to Washington next week. He's going to meet Biden. I had a feeling it could be called next week, next Thursday. I don't think that's going to happen now because he's not going to be back in time. So there is a very strong possibility it's called the following Tuesday. And that puts it at somewhere between I'd say the 15th to the 22nd of November.
So definitely not in 2025.
I don't think so. I think they would be absolutely and utterly mad. And there's a reason all these payments we've talked about are coming this side of Christmas.
Sean Defoe, News Talk's political correspondent. Sean, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.